B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
Ace is on the case.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Again with the Dilly.
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall Dick, where you at?
5-15-75. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Well, hello again, and welcome to my cooking show. I have a very special guest today. His culinary skills are legendary throughout the NFL. My very special guest, Coach Bill Belichick of the Cleveland Browns. Bill, welcome to the show.
Nice to be here, Mike.
Oh, thank you. And I know we have a very special recipe today, one you've held in secret for many years, but you're going to share it with us today.
Right, it's the BBPBJ.
BBPBJ, what is that?
Bill Belichick's peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I see we have all the ingredients here for you, so I'm just going to stand back. You're the master of this. Let you go and follow you as you make the sandwich.
Well, we'll start with the raisin bread.
Why raisin bread, bro?
Well, my mother used raisin bread.
Oh, mothers are divine, aren't they?
Oh, they sure are.
They're just the best.
She made the best one.
Oh, and chunky peanut butter. That's quite a risk because, you know, the shards of peanuts can tear the flesh of the bread.
Well, it has a little more crunch to it, and that really gives you a little extra energy. But the key to it, Mike, is to spread peanut butter on both sides of the bread.
Oh, why?
So that the jelly doesn't leak through in the sandwich. And put the jelly right here in the middle.
That's why you're the head coach. It's forward thinking like that. It's just, I've never seen that.
Right, this jelly won't leak through because of peanut butter on both sides of the bread.
Wonderful. Now you're going to cut it, I assume. You'll cut diagonal or something?
No, actually, I like to cut out so it leaves the dog bone.
Oh, that's wonderful. Man.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you so much for coming in. And maybe sometime you can bring us your recipe for that famous ham and cheese I've heard so much about.
Sure, I'd be glad to, Mike.
Oh, thank you so much.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. That is Bill Belichick making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich when he was coach of the Cleveland Browns.
I wonder why no one has asked him about the BB, PB&J since then.
Because he didn't really try. And then the guy, aren't mothers divine? Yes, they're divine.
They are. If there is a media day that needs to be asked about, is the BB, PB&J.
Yeah. I'm not worried about the past. I'm just focused on sandwiches now. Yeah,
he gets a little loose at media day. I'll give him.
He really cuts a rug. Yeah. He cuts a rug, boy. He's great.
He goes a little nutty. You know,
PB&J. Yeah, it's great.
Mm-hmm. I like peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
Mothers are divine.
Aren't mothers divine?
They are divine.
Yeah. They're great.
Hopefully there will be at least one more media day. It's going to be weird though because you know you're gonna be up there and if they end up making it, the Gronkowski booth is going to be the strangest because I mean obviously hasn't been captain party guy this year. He's hardly had kind of really any plays to speak of that you can. I mean it's been wildly disappointing. So is this going to be more like a funeral? Everyone's going to be asking him, like, is this your last year?
That's exactly what's going to happen.
It's going to be just strange. Like, out of all of them, and you think of years past when he was, you know, Mr. Media Day, and when he was reading, a Gronk to remember, getting, spiking the ball in my butt cheeks. This one's going to be strange.
Well, we were talking about if we go to the Super Bowl, I'm not going to Media Day. There's nothing there. There's no reason to talk to any of these people.
See, we can go like we always do, Fred, and then Rich will do his thing, and the two of us will walk across the street.
Did
and
we
have a
get
beer.
Anything last year?
We almost always get something out of Media Day.
But I don't think we got anything last year.
Last year was just weird, and the reason being, and the Media Day thing is, there's really no excuse for that. The whole thing was strange, because celebrities outside of athletes who were actually playing in the game didn't want to go to Minneapolis. Like, they didn't want to travel to the cold. And also, they didn't want to go to a mall and walk through a mall to talk to people. I mean, every year when we were on Media Row, we would get massive guests. I mean, I think about
Media Row is different, but Media Day.
No, I'm saying.
Is it 8 o'clock the day you get there? I'm not going.
Well, that one was. Well, yeah, I mean, I'll still go because we'll end up usually finding something out of it.
Not last year.
I'm trying to remember if there was anything from last year.
I don't think there was anything from last year. It was just boring.
Was last year the year that Tom Brady asked if I was on drugs?
No.
No.
That was the year before?
Yes.
Okay.
There was nothing. There was Gronk, can you remember, was the year before that.
Yeah, the mall walkers, all the other stuff happened while we were in the mall itself.
Yeah, the media day was pointless.
Well, as I said, that whole trip was strange. And I'm going to just write it off as that was just one of the weird ones.
We wanted lunch, and so we were done at like 9 a.m. Minneapolis time.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were just wandering, looking for a restaurant that was open in that mall. You remember this?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We sat in like a food court and waited for an hour and a half for everything to open.
The geniuses at the mall knew that they had, you know, a couple hundred people, a milling about, and they decided, let's not open any of our businesses.
We wound up at a Dick's Last Resort or so. I forget where we wound up.
It was like over 2 hours you had to wait to get anything to eat.
Exactly.
Now, if you wanted some cool hats from Lids, there was like 17 Lids locations inside of that giant mall. Or if you wanted to ride a roller coaster with a Ninja Turtle on it, by all means, that was right there ready to go.
No polar coaster.
It was not the polar coaster.
The polar coaster up there at Storyland, one that I've conquered. Those were light snacks compared to polar coaster. You're dealing with the elements too. You're outside.
Yeah, yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You do have that going on.
Yeah. So you gotta do that. But media day. There's no personalities on this Patriots team anymore. So who cares if you're a fan? But there's really no reason to go to that thing. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's at 8 o'clock at night.
What was the one where we went up to? I see, it wasn't last year.
They were playing the Giants.
Yeah.
That was Indianapolis.
Yeah.
No. I'm thinking about like the time when we went to go talk to John Clayton about whether he had a ponytail or not, and then some dude like yelled at us.
That was still Indianapolis.
Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was during the day.
Yes.
Well, the Indianapolis one was my favorite.
Yeah, walked out of the show, walked down the stairs across the street and up the block to Lucas Oil Stadium.
Yeah, and then that was media day. Now you fly in, and the day you fly in, you're supposed to go to this stupid thing, and there's no reason to go. I mean, there really isn't.
We had some good interviews like the year before. As I said, last year was strange, but I mean, like Kyle Van Noy was good. I mean, you could talk to some of these guys and get some interesting stuff out of it.
Yeah. Or you could not go.
City is the determining factor this year.
If Kyle Van Noy is the big get.
Kyle Van Noy was good, and he was talking trash on some of the other players.
The difference this year is we've been in cities where, you know, it just, you didn't know anybody. There wasn't anything you knew that you were going to do.
But that doesn't change that
you're kind of trapped.
Yeah.
Well, it does change it this year.
Not media day.
This year it's in Atlanta. You guys know a lot about Atlanta. There are things to do. You know where to go. So the temptation to not go to media day for Fred is completely understandable.
Because there are five or six
other things that you can do that night.
Yeah, I'm
you're
not
very well aware.
That's what I'm saying.
The city is the determining factor, I think, this year for Fred anyway.
Well, I'm done with media days. That's it. I'm not Peter Brady with the press thing in my fedora. I'm not going. It's a radio show, not, you know, asking some stupid questions. And in Atlanta, there's going to be plenty of that.
Questions ended up being funny.
Well, yeah, the year or the 2 years that they worked. But no, I'm done with that. I can fairly say that I'm done with that. All right. Well, hopefully the entries are in for the Worse Than Brady contest because the time is up. And Rich is telling me that we have some good ones. That's going to be at 8 o'clock. To 9 o'clock tomorrow. Jay Farrow coming on the show tomorrow.
Chief, like the oldest, the guy who does the Denzel Washington on SNL?
Yep.
Why is he on the show?
I don't know. He's performing.
Is he in studio?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. If he's in studio, it's fine. That's good. All right. Comedians are always way better in studio.
Yeah.
And I like him. I mean, he's likable. I'm not saying
He also got kicked off of SNL. So there's something to talk about there.
What's his show that he's got on HBO? He's got like he does have an HBO show.
Yeah.
Oh, or Showtime, one of those two. I forget.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right.
I'll have to do a ton of research today. The Jay Farrell appearance. I was pressured very. I was a lot of pressure to get Jay Farrow on the show today, tomorrow. He's going to be in the building, and the woman that does the booking is very neurotic and texts quite often.
Okay, well he seems like a pretty funny guy. I don't want him on the phone. I'm glad he's in studio.
I wouldn't have booked him on the phone.
No.
He goes, hey, do us some impressions.
By the way, speaking of that. Like, so Louis C.K. is back in the news, obviously. Somebody recorded one of his sets of him trying to come back there. And, you know, and there's this whole thing now of people saying, you know, was Louis C.K. ever funny in the first place? And to that I say, Fred and I have been on the record as saying no.
His first comedy special was funny because he talked about his kids. But he was always a prick when he was on the air with us.
He always was an a-hole. And on top of that, I've never found him funny. And it's not because of the stuff that's just coming out now. I mean, for years I've said that. Like, I don't know. I don't maybe have his same sense of humor, but I don't know why he became so huge. Well, I never found Louis funny.
No,
I never
found Louis's not funny. Louis was a vanity project that he made as dreary and crappy as possible. And it got no ratings.
And obviously, I love Jim Norton, and Lucky Louis wasn't good.
No, well, Lucky Louis was an embarrassment. I mean, Lucky Louie was on a, like, I don't know what they were trying to do there. It's like when a Tyler Perry's plays, like, you know, like.
Right, it was like a live studio audience, but it was like.
It was live, like, but it, taped live.
Yeah, but it wasn't live. It was, I don't know. I've never found him funny. Now, I found some things that he was involved in funny. I believe that he was one of the writers of Pootie Tang.
Oh.
And Pootie Tang is one of those when it comes on TV. You're not changing the channel.
Oh, yeah. You're the guy that likes Pootie Tang.
I am the guy who likes Pootie Tang. And it probably has like 4% on Rotten Tomatoes. I enjoyed Pootie Tang.
No, he was always such a prick on the air.
Yeah, he was. He was.
And so... And I had heard those rumors about him masturbating in front of people for years and years and years.
Well, I mean, people just straight out said it happened and just it kind of got picked up steam over the last, like, year or so.
Yeah. I mean, that was the big thing about him. But that is, yeah. And then he was at Governor's in Long Island, and he told jokes that people didn't like. And there you go. He was working out material at Governor's, and someone taped it, and then... A month later, it went viral, and there you go. All right, Rich, what are we going to talk about today?
The Bruins, once again, look excellent, and unfortunately, a young offensive genius is off the market.
Yeah, it's good, really good hire. There's been a couple. Patrice Bergeron, by the way, joining us at 9:20 with the big announcement today. We'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich. Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, it's no coincidence that since becoming a regular guest in the Toucher and Rich show, this man is on fire.
Marchand kicked it up top, Bergeron at the point, shoots, deflected, they score! That's going to look like a rocket in the box score. Bergeron's wrister looked like it hit DeBrusque in the chest and floated inside the near post. A power play goal. 3-0 Bruins.
DeBrusque is so good at scoring now that he doesn't even need a stick.
Excellent goal by DeBrusque.
Puck gets rifled his way by Patrice Bergeron, and instead of possibly getting the high stick, DeBrusque just puts his chest out there and bounces it into the
net. Go to the dirty areas of the ice, Fred, and good things happen.
Absolutely.
Exactly the way Bergeron planned it.
Right.
He had it all, like, you know, all the little math, like, see, like the Pythagorean theorem, the angles.
What Bergeron did was, you know, you just put it on net, but it was DeBrusque that came in and sacrificed his chest.
Kaboom. Well, the Bruins win their fifth in a row by blanking the Minnesota Wild 4-0. The Bees nearly put this away in the first, burying three in that frame, and then a fourth just minutes into the second period.
Krug to the dock. Right corner now, Marchand. Around Krug to the far point. Twist to the high slot. Left circle, Marchand. Centers deflected. They score! This one goes in off of skate. Bergeron deflected that by Stalock, who was trying to push right to left. It trickles by him. Power play goal, 4-0 Bruins.
A less painful deflection, that one off a skate. On top of that, Tuukka gets his first shutout of the season with 24 saves. That is the 42nd time in his career that he has blanked the team.
Yeah, his save percentage now is respectable.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I think, 920 at this point. So,
and he's about to become the winningest goaltender in Bruins history.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Well, I like that.
How about that, huh? Crap on Tuukka Rask now, will you?
No.
Well, here is Jake DeBrusk on his weird-ass goal that he scored from his chest yesterday.
Something I've never done before, so I didn't actually know how to react. Usually I have pretty good celebrations, but at the same time, I think it was just kind of one of those surprising things where just went off your chest and in the net, and it is what it is.
And you were talking about how Tuukka has been playing well as of late, and Bruce Cassidy believes that he has earned more time on the ice.
Well, that's a bit of the plan going forward. He played the last game, so now he's got two. Washington coming in is a little different. We haven't had much success against him. So we're leaning towards, I'll tell you flat out, Halak, because he hasn't started against him in a Bruins uniform. But yes, Tuukka's now earning, I think, the I don't want to say the net backs. I don't think that's the appropriate term, but more starts.
Yep, as you mentioned, a big game tomorrow night with the Stanley Cup champions coming to town, the Capitals. They face off at the TD Garden at 7 p.m., but more importantly, Patrice Bergeron, as Fred mentioned, is going to join us this morning on the show at 9:20, a Raptors appearance.
And they got to rest him last night. They got to limit his minutes. Yes, Raptors, something that I said a long time ago, now becoming part of the vernacular
mm-hmm.
of the Bruins fans, and again, lost in all of this, was my creation.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something that I see posted.
Bruins completely ripped you off by making a new luxury spot at TD Garden. Going to call that Rafters.
Mm-hmm.
They should put a little trademark, a little symbol next to every time Rafters is done. That way people know it's Freddie T creation.
I just see, I got that Twitter account that I don't, is not my name and is private, that I use to follow some of the news. And I looked at it last night, and Joe Haggerty, who I follow on it, just retweeted someone saying Rafters. And to that I say, Joe Haggerty is trying to take credit for something that I've created.
So we get him on and press him on this.
Well, we'll wait until after the football season. People got Patriot fever right now.
Sure. By the way, just one other final Bruins note. If you ever wanted to know just how dedicated ESPN was to the game of hockey, yesterday at 11 a.m., the official Twitter account of ESPN Boston tweeted out a story titled, quote, "Banged up Bruins lose Bergeron for 4 weeks," which seemed weird, but briefly gave some Bruins fans a heart attack. When you clicked the story, it was linked. It was that report from weeks ago when he indeed injured himself 20 hours later, and the tweet has still not been taken down. Slow clap to ESPN Boston. We should ask Bergeron about being out for 4 weeks.
Do they have a local guy anymore?
I don't think they do. It used to be McDonald, right? Joey McDonald.
And now he's with one of them thing. I think he's with the Athletic.
You're right. I think it was the Athletic or the Boston Sports Journal. I forget which one. But he's not with them anymore. As a matter of fact, I think if you click on it, it's Greg Wyshynski, and it's just when he happens to write about the Bruins, it's on there. But I mean, for that to be up for almost 24 hours and not to yank that tweet down. That is just a statement on really how in tune ESPN is to what's going on.
They talk about two things, Zion Williams and LeBron James.
That is true.
Those are two things. Yeah. Zion Williams is tall and can dunk.
Hits his head in the backboard. He's so tall, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, because it's the postseason and every team needs a catchphrase now, the Patriots released this video yesterday revealing theirs. This right here.
Everything we got, when no one is watching, when everyone is watching, when they say we can't, when they say we're not good enough, when they don't believe.
Skip, it's starting to be the end. They see the writings on the wall.
We believe.
1, 2, 3.
Because to get everything, it's going to take everything.
True.
Yeah. So we're going to give everything.
True.
Everything we got.
Hashtag everything we got.
As opposed to other years when you half-assed it. Come on.
And then they put a million hashtags after it. Hashtag do damage. Hashtag.
This is unequivocally the sweetest.
Maybe.
Unequivocally.
The sweetest. Maybe everything we got will catch on a little more than that one. What was the other one? I think last year's was one more.
Or it was.
All in.
Or.
Wasn't all in?
All in was something else.
Okay.
No, because, I mean, do damage is, of course, the Red
What is song. The one that, that what, okay, what is the phrase again that they're using?
Everything we got.
Oh, well, I mean, look at the minds that were involved in that decision. I mean, the marketing, a round of applause to the Bruins marketing team.
The year before it was do your job. But do your job is like, you know, that's from Bill Belichick's mouth. I understand why they did that. That's a good one. Do your job is a very good one.
Do your job is horrible.
No, do your job is something that he
said.
Or
was it no days off?
No days off is awful. No, that one's not good. Do your job was about good as you can do.
Is what they used to tell Flo at Alice's.
And she would say, kiss my grits.
Yeah.
Hashtag kiss my grits.
Yeah, well, that, maybe that's what they should do.
That's right. Too bad Twitter wasn't around when Alice was.
Because Al would be like, Flo, do your job.
And then there was a hashtag kiss my grits because it's unequivocally the sweetest.
I like how Flo was supposed to be like hot.
I love how they wanted the word unequivocally to catch on. Like,
no, he was, you know, in a different place.
Was it Blitz for six last year?
That could be right. Sounds right to me.
Maybe.
That sounds right. Blitz, that's a hashtag.
Okay. All right.
Unequivocally. Flo, I'll have an apple pie. All right, darling, here's cherry pie. What?
Well, it is going to take everything they got.
I'm in rural Arizona.
To beat the Chargers this weekend. Is that where that was set? I never knew.
She broke down. And she was heading to Los Angeles, and okay. She broke down in rural Arizona.
Okay. I think that's right.
Yeah. And then
that's Alice. Yeah.
Yeah. And then her son grew up.
Yep.
And things fell from there. And I believe Flo left because she had a spinoff called Flo.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I was unaware of that.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yes.
Mm-hmm. We got to take line one?
No.
Because it just says we'd like to talk Pat's taglines. Into that, I can't get enough of it. Yeah. I mean, I want to know what shirt I'm going to be wearing next week. All right? Because I buy a new one every single time.
Flo, may I have those white Skechers?
It's creepy. Oh, by the way, speaking of shirts that you're going to wear this week, we'll get back to the Patriots. But, you know, every year there's some sort of screw up when it comes to a false release of a championship shirt for a team that did not win. One of the greatest is when they showed all of the mannequins having the Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl champion shirts being taken off them because the sporting goods store in Atlanta had at halftime or maybe even like in the third quarter said, all right, well, we're winning this thing. Let's go ahead and open up the store. And then, of course, the subsequent video of them removing them later on.
And everyone painted the score on their car.
They did 28-3, which still makes me laugh. I have to be honest. That still makes me laugh.
Hey, you put it right there on your car like you were on the team.
It's kind of interesting. But Alabama, they were so excited that they were running commercials for live broadcasts where they were selling T-shirts where it didn't happen. This was recorded off a radio station after Alabama lost to Clemson.
Many Bama fans coming through, getting all of their title apparel. What a great win over Clemson for the Crimson Tide. The sixth title in 10 years. Truly amazing. Title number 7 for Nick Saban. And as official sponsor of the Alabama Crimson Tide, we're excited to celebrate this incredible victory and this season with you. Come by your local Academy store. You can come see us here in Hoover, the John Hawkins Parkway location, or just your local Academy store. They're going to have all of your title apparel, plus more crimson and white shirts.
So he's broadcasting as if he's like from there, and he's like, you're using like a fake phone thing.
Yeah, he's lying. He's telling people that he's doing an appearance that he's not doing.
No, it's actually not there.
That's like a crash. They call that a crash.
People are saying, why not hashtag...
Does this ever get old? Do you ever not like it? Having a nice hot grilled hot dog sliced? You like it, right?
Yeah. Hashtag you like it, right?
You like it, right? Shut up.
Dude, who wouldn't buy that shirt?
I would buy that shirt.
Hashtag you like it, right?
Yeah. No. It would have to have the hot dog.
Hashtag grilled hot dog sliced or nice hot grilled hot dog sliced?
Does it ever get old? Does it ever get old? Don't you like a nice hot dog, grilled hot dog? Sliced.
You like it, right?
Okay.
That's the one I want.
You like it. Right?
Hashtag.
Grilled hot dog slices for everyone, except for Mr. Lemonade.
Yeah, Mr. Lemonade just gets lemonades. That's why he calls him Mr. Lemonade.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've learned that.
He likes lemonade. I bring him to him. I call him Mr. Lemonade.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I call him Mr. Lemonade.
Hashtag Mr. Lemonade.
Yeah, that was early in the day for Robert Kraft.
Yeah, so we will get to what's...
that was Robert Kraft. Yeah, I call him Mr. Lemonade. And then at the end of the game, you like a hot dog slice?
Hashtag you like it, right?
You like it, right?
So we will get to what's going on with the Patriots. There are players in the team having nightmares. And Bill Belichick.
You like it, right?
I do like the fact that they're worried about this game.
You grilled hot dogs.
It's sliced. It's sliced.
Sliced,
I
right?
Like it. I like it, right?
You like it, right?
I do like it, right?
Never gets old.
It doesn't.
You like it, right?
I'm a big fan of it. Yes, I am.
Yeah. Right? Flow.
Some flows involved.
I like hell have a big grilled hot dog slice.
Hot dog. Do you ever not like it? Having a grilled hot dog slice. Hot dog.
Sweetheart, call me RKK.
You like it, right? Hot dog. Hot dog. Slice.
I always buy him lemonade.
Cheers, hot dog, hot dog. No problem solved.
So I call him Mr. Lemonade.
Hot dog, hot dog.
That's cool with me.
Do you ever not like it? Having a nice hot grilled hot dog slice. You like it, right?
Aw, thanks for stopping by.
Toucher and Rich.
.985 Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Well, it's
going
to take hashtag everything they got to beat the Chargers this weekend, at least according to Dan Shaughnessy, who this morning says, quote, I know tomato cans. I invented the term tomato cans.
He did.
The Chargers, sir, are no tomato cans, even though my fro is the color of a tomato can.
Shaughnessy's great.
Did he say that?
No, he did not.
It's great.
I added that last part. But the rest of it is true. It's actually a pretty funny article. He goes into depth about like why he thinks Scott Zolak and Philip Rivers are the same person. Except for, of course, Philip Rivers having a lot more success. Well, right. Actually, I should probably bust that out and read that in a second. But someone who does, however, say he's been having nightmares about this upcoming game is Trey Flowers.
I had a dream about, you know, kind of setting the edge or, you know, getting set the edge, and I kind of woke up. It was a nightmare. It turned into a nightmare. But, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, you definitely look forward to it. And, you know, like you said, you know, you go through a whole season and prepare yourself for this position, get some time off. But,
so someone had to ask Bill Belichick, hey, Bill, what's up with these nightmares,
well,
huh?
I didn't understand the entire first half of what Trey Flowers said.
He said that he woke up and he was having dreams about not setting the edge and, you know, having a nightmare. Okay. And so that's what he was saying. And so Bill Belichick was asked about this.
We had a sort of a lighthearted moment. Trey Flowers admitted that he had a nightmare about failing to set the edge, which kind of cracked everyone up. But, I guess what does that say about him? You know, maybe in a contract year where for some players sacks might be important in earning power, that he is he's having nightmares about, you know, making sure Melvin Gordon doesn't break outside.
Well, I don't know. I'm not an analyst of nightmares.
Okay, all right. Well,
now go home and get your shine box.
Right,
he took him like 5 seconds to put together a prick thing.
Well, I mean, he didn't even click on his keyboard like he likes to do, like stomp on it as if he's not listening to you.
Well, you know, it's the playoffs, and you gotta save your fingers.
This is pretty great. Okay, so this is from Dan Shaughnessy's article this morning, which is, it's worth a read. He says, I like to think of Philip Rivers as a more talented Scott Zolak. In many ways, Rivers and Zoe are the same guy. Both are 6'5" with a playing weight around 230 pounds. Both came to the NFL from the Atlantic Coast Conference. They both look like Glenn Campbell and are super competitive with great edge and cockiness. Do they both look like Glenn Campbell?
Yeah. It's a spitting image between Philip Rivers and Glenn Campbell.
They're both rhinestone cowboys? Is that what he's saying?
And they both have Alzheimer's.
I mean,
you don't think Rivers has forgotten the name of one of his 9 kids at one point?
think he's having another kid, too.
It's his ninth, yeah. Both had their dad as their high school coach. Rivers has enjoyed a far more decorated professional career.
Oh, you don't say.
But he's always reminded me of a latter-day Zolak with a better NFL resume. Teammates want to go to war with guys like Zoe and Rivers.
What?
Thought that was kind of an interesting thing that he just kind of threw in there.
He just wants to keep doing his 2 hours a week on the show.
I guess he truly enjoys it.
Yeah.
So
it's like he just wants to be there all puffed up and ready to go. He likes being on TV.
He does. Well, I will say this, though. At the beginning, he goes, I will not. You know, this is something that if I say that this is a team that's legitimate, I am not going to backtrack and say afterwards, well, you know, they walked over this team. I'm going to give the Patriots credit to that. I say, wow.
Give Dan credit. He spent the last decade playing one side of the street. And now, an opportunity to go to the other side and make sense. Good for Dan. Get multiple columns out of this one, too.
This is a really weird line. I know tomato cans. I am to tomato cans what J. Robert Oppenheimer was to the atomic bomb.
And that his hair looks like a mushroom cloud.
He created the tomato can?
That's right. The hair is...
yeah. Oppenheimer saw him, and it led him to create the atomic bomb.
Maybe that is the case. That could be it.
Yeah, it looks like a fallout of something terrible that just happened.
Yeah, it could be. Well, after the only team that he interviewed with went with someone else, Josh McDaniels announced, hey, guess what, guys? I'm sticking around. Start popping bottles.
Yeah.
Let the champagne shower begin.
Yeah, way to turn down that Bengals interview.
Well, here he is yesterday answering questions about all things Josh McDaniels.
Have you spoken to the Cleveland Browns at all about their head coaching vacancy?
No, sir. I have had no contact with them.
Do you anticipate interviewing for any more head coaching opportunities, or have you kind of closed the book on that for now and are just focused on what you're doing with the Patriots?
The book is closed. You know, it's always a humbling experience to have an opportunity to interview with anybody for that position, you know, and I was thankful for the opportunity to meet with Green Bay, and always gives you greater insight into another organization and how they do things. It's been very educational for me every time I've gone through it.
Do you feel as though what happened last offseason with the Colts impacted at all your hearing from other teams in terms of potentially getting other opportunities?
I have no idea, Phil. You know, you'd have to obviously ask them if, you know, if that had anything to do with anything like that. I'm grateful for the opportunity that I had, but obviously, more importantly, thankful for the opportunity that I have here.
Of course.
Did you hear about the two jabronis that the Cleveland
yes.
wants to hire?
Yeah. Oh, it's the guy. It's the offensive court.
I didn't think it was. I thought it was Stefanski and Kitchens were the two finalists for the Cleveland.
One of them's an offensive line coach.
Freddie Kitchens running backs coach.
Yeah,
and then he became the offensive coordinator in the middle of the season.
And Stefanski became the offensive coordinator in the middle of the season for Minnesota.
Right. Yeah, Denver wants Munchak. So,
right.
Congratulations, Justin McDaniels. You are. I mean, they were brought up the elite, the elite candidates. And couldn't bother talking to you.
But again, Stefanski, like, and this is a slap in the face because Stefanski, like McDaniels, is like the quarterback guy. I mean, Stefanski was the quarterback's coach when Case Keenum had his great year for Minnesota.
Right.
So, I mean, that's what teams are looking for.
Yep.
That's the epitome of what Josh McDaniels supposedly is, and they're looking somewhere else.
Yep. I mean, he completely screwed himself. And have fun because eight openings. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury?
Well, listen.
I mean, that guy's got
Arizona won the Cliff Kingsbury sweepstakes. They got him!
Cliff Kingsbury.
How is he the bell of the ball?
Like a losing record at Texas Tech, where you can win, by the way.
Yeah.
And his big thing is that he coached Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, you can recruit quarterbacks. If you want to throw for 5,500 yards in a year, you go to Texas Tech.
Yeah, Texas Tech, when they had Crazy McGee coaching them.
Right, open throttle, throw it every down. I mean, that's you can recruit quarterbacks and wide receivers to that place.
So congratulations, Josh McDaniels. You keep turning down those job offers and keep turning down those interviews. And just stick around.
Cliff Kingsbury.
Well, I mean, listen.
4 years.
Yeah,
it gave him 4 years, having no NFL experience as a coach ever.
And everyone wanted that Cleveland job, but that Cleveland job's getting down to two guys, and you're just like, who are these guys?
Yeah, one of them is just a dude who's been there and was there during this little successful stint that they had.
Another guy lucked out. He got promoted to offensive coordinator in the middle of the season.
And then Denver wants Mike Munchak or another guy. I mean, it's not – McDaniels so badly. I told you 2 years ago, This is unbelievable what he's doing. It is unbelievable, and he's completely screwed himself. Completely.
I thought more teams would be stupid enough to come calling. I did.
Well, two did. And one they didn't want him.
One.
Well,
no,
he interviewed with one, and Bengals, one wanted him. Yeah, two wanted him good to interview him.
By the way, the Jets knew Kingsbury was in. Kingsbury knew he was going to Arizona. Arizona.
That was
and the Jets
deal.
Still interviewed him.
Yep.
Just to interview him.
Yeah.
And so figure out what's going on. So if you're McDaniels, why would you turn down an interview with any team? You don't have to take the job. And it doesn't even have to become public. That you interviewed, you can make it public. But why would you possibly do that?
Well, now that all these moves are being made, speaking of the Jets, Fred, apparently Mike McCarthy is only interested in that one opening, that being the Jets, according to Adam Schefter.
This
he doesn't want to be
though.
Considered for any head coaching opportunity outside of the Jets. Now, the Jets, as you mentioned, Fred, they've interviewed him. Kingsbury, as you said, and I also read that they had already assumed that he was going to go to Arizona. Jim Caldwell, Todd Monken, Eric Bieniemy, and also Adam Gase has been interviewed.
Adam
well.
Gase is who they should get. Yes, go
ahead. The interesting part, and I was telling Fred this before we got started, is the spin on the whole McCarthy thing. You read ESPN and Adam Schefter says Mike McCarthy's not pursuing any other opportunity. He's solely focused on the Jets. You read Manish Mehta this morning, and while it boils down to the same thing, the spin is radically different. Manish Mehta seems to think that no other NFL team is interested in interviewing Mike McCarthy, and because of that, McCarthy is forced to only focus on the Jets.
Yeah, well, if you get a guy that's won one Super Bowl with two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, you can keep him. I don't want McCarthy anywhere near that organization.
Sports Pope wants him bad.
Yeah, well, he knows everything.
And he wants him bad.
I wonder when the last time he watched a Jet game was. I mean, seriously.
Have you heard about his picks that he's been doing? Like, you know, he's starting to do, like, picks now that gambling is legal, you know, to much of his listening audience. And he has, like, this, like, you couldn't try to have a worse record in picks than he has had, like, for the NFL this season.
And then he goes, I never said that.
Yeah, right. And then he goes back on it. Matter of fact, whenever, like, there was a game that he lost the other day. I forget which one he predicted. I think it was, like, the Texans. And he said it was because he wanted to motivate Deshaun Watson or something like that. It's a Tom
Watson.
Jackson. Remember Tom Jackson did that with the Patriots?
Well, at least he's their coach. At least Tom Jackson was on TV. You think Deshaun Watson, who's what, like 23?
Is listening to Mike Francesa.
He's like, what's Francesa saying?
I may have the team wrong, but he basically picked against somebody to say he was motivating them.
Yeah, like as everyone now is got their ear to the ground to find out what Francesa's talking about.
Right.
But boy, did Josh McDaniels screw himself.
Yeah, he did, man. I mean, you can't do that because it is such a small community. Everybody who works for one organization knows somebody who works in another one, and they all talk. So if you are someone who got affected by McDaniel screwing over the Colts, whether you are somebody who works
jobs.
With one of the coordinators or that, how can you How can you look at yourself in the mirror and go, all right, I'm going to now trust this guy who completely screwed over 7, 8, you know, all these coordinators on top of an organization that basically, and from what we're hearing from Bert, this is one of the first time he essentially agreed to a job, not essentially, but he was picking out the drapes and the furniture with the 49ers.
Yeah, and then he gets cold feet.
And then he got cold feet on that one. So this is like twice.
My favorite thing is, you know, he's got to be careful about the job he takes because he could get fired. First of all, if you have that much confidence in your head coaching ability that you assume you're going to suck for 4 years and get fired, congratulations. And second of all, you know, you don't get to cherry pick anymore, Josh. That ship has sailed a long time ago. I don't know if Luck's healthy. Okay, bye. I don't want you as a head coach. Why would I want you as a head coach? You have no confidence. You come into a room and you interview with me, and I know that unless everything is lined up perfectly, in your opinion, you're not going to take it because you're afraid to fail. And would you want that guy? No.
Oh, I said that after the whole thing with the Colts. I'm like, you can't hire this guy.
It's beyond that.
Before the Colts, I was like, well, listen, give the guy a second chance.
No,
but
it's beyond that. He doesn't want any scenario where it's not perfect for him. And guess what? You're never going to get that opportunity again. All right, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. I just read a biography by the bassist of Blur.
Babyface.
He got laid an awful lot. But the Gorillaz had bigger hits than any of the Blur songs.
That is true. Their biggest hit was Song 2, and that was Woohoo! And that's mostly because of the sporting events that play it.
I think that that was not their biggest hit, according to the book. But the book is very UK-centric.
Oh, okay. Because I know in America, that's the only song that most people could probably identify by Blur.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was on the alternative radio quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, if you have a smart speaker in your home, and apparently most everybody does, you just say play 98.5 the Sports Hub, and then kablawi, there we are, right there for you.
Just say, Alexa, play 98.5 the Sports Hub. You see, I did that for you.
Yeah, but you know what's going to, they're already listening, so that would be redundant. But, yeah, if you're at home or and you just want to listen to the old radio station, that's all you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the college football championship, we were trying to figure out yesterday just how well it would have done because it was a blowout win, and it was a 14-6 overnight rating. What does that mean? It's the lowest for a college football national championship since Bama-LSU in 2012. Last year, which was an excellent game, if I'm not mistaken, it was the Bama-Georgia game. Yeah, that was a 16-7, so almost a full 2 points less when it came to the overnight ratings.
Yeah, it's college football's worst nightmare. Even though people are saying it's great, if it continues to be Clemson-Alabama every year, it's just no one's going to care. Again, the regions of fan base for those two schools are incredibly small. And I understand Alabama's dominating, and they probably have fans, Walmart fans that they picked up around the country, but not enough. I mean, how many people, especially in the ACC, how many people have sat down and watched Clemson games?
Well, I mean, they're going to now, but the craziest thing about all of this.
I don't know about that. That's a Saturday afternoon, and I don't know if you're spending it watching a Clemson game.
Clemson's been good for the last 4 or 5 years, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, if they're not watching them now, what's changing?
Well, I mean, they were watching them. Just it was a blowout game.
No, but if you're not watching,
that's still pretty massive ratings.
Fred's point was, who's watching Clemson games? No one during the season. That's not going to change either. They've been good for a while now.
You don't think people aren't watching Clemson during the year?
No.
See, I think that they're one of the teams that people tune in to watch.
Yeah.
Like I mean, they're obviously one of the best teams in the league.
Well, they are in the league.
In the league, in the nation, in college,
yeah, in the college,
in the college,
yes,
yeah. Well, a lot of people have a lot of places have a lot of fan bases, and Fox has got the Big Ten, and you know, a lot of Clemson games are on that like syndicated network that plays, and it's like real annoying.
Which one?
It starts with an R. If you ever go to a BC game, it's almost always outside of the BC game, the Trucks.
Okay.
And it's like a horrible broadcast. It's not a network. It's something that's syndicated. Well, regardless, there
all
you
right.
go.
All right. Well, there's a audio of Cedric Maxwell. Oh, you know what? We probably got a break.
Yeah, we got a break. All right. Can do that soon. Brandon Merriweather joins us. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.